In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was in high school, there was a film that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops had put out called Fishers of Men. It was meant to be a sort of advertisement for the priesthood and showed interviews with different priests as well as some stylized acting of events from the daily life of priests. I must have watched that video a few dozen times over my high school years. One line that stood out to me in that video was that a priest is meant to be all things to all people. A priest is present in people's lives at all sorts of moments, and oftentimes will find himself responding to different events during the day that have vastly different impacts emotionally on the people that these events affect. Now that I'm on the other side of that video, it helps me put everything into perspective. Sometimes I think about how most people who come in contact with me during a weekday usually have no real concept of all the various people and places that I've encountered before them that same day. People don't know who I'm coming from or where I'm going. In an average week, I preach 8 homilies, I say 10 masses, I teach 10 and a half hours of 10th grade theology, I hear 3 hours of confessions, I usually eat with at least 2 or 3 families, I will attend high school sporting events and meet with couples preparing for marriage, I go to the hospital to anoint the sick and the dying. At least once a week, someone comes to me for spiritual direction. And lately, I've had to direct the choir rehearsals because our director has had a car injury. And I'm preparing for Holy Week liturgies, which is the busiest week of the year for priests. So when you're doing all these sorts of things, it makes for interesting transitions during the day when you're driving from one family to the next and preparing to change your emotions. Because the next person I encounter has to be received from what they are presenting, what they require from God in that moment. To them, the other experiences that I've had that day don't really matter that much. It's what they need then that's important. That's the reason I'm there. Now, this privileged perspective that priest has gives us, as priest, a bit more insight into how the grace of God is operating in our lives at every moment. I only get to see a tiny subsection of the world called Natchez. But at every moment, in every place, in every life, God is pouring out gifts of His grace, and they are gifts enough such that at every moment, each person has what they need to become holy, to make the right decision, to be brought just that much closer to the vision of the Father's glory. In St. John's Gospel, we have this interesting encounter where the Greeks show up in Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And we probably skip over that detail without reminding ourselves that whenever the sacred authors say Greeks, we're meant to hear pagan, non-Jews. So these non-Jewish pagan Greeks are showing up in Jerusalem for a Jewish religious festival. And that should sound strange to us. Jerusalem was a very long journey in those days down from Greece. Why were these Greeks showing up for a Jewish festival? St. John tells us, "We would like to see Jesus," they said. Priests have to remind themselves when they find themselves showing up for yet another dinner invitation at someone's doorstep, that the reason they keep getting all these invitations and the reason people want to see them when they're sad or in trouble or facing distress is because they would like to see Jesus. People come to our parish for Sunday Mass because they would like to see Jesus. And He makes Himself so available to us in His church through His sacraments and His priesthood. The world itself is clamoring around, waiting to see Jesus, waiting to find the answer to every problem and disease, waiting for hope, because Jesus is the answer to all of that. Jesus is the one person worth hoping for. Every year in the Advent season, I look forward to praying the Breviary on the second Sunday, because there's this text in the office that always sticks out to me as one of the most beautiful lines of the liturgy during the year. The Breviary says, "The Lord will surely come. And if He seems to delay, wait for Him, because He will not be late." Think about the story of Lazarus. Most of us know it well. Word comes to Christ that his friend Lazarus is dying, and Jesus chooses to wait just a little while longer before going to see him. But when he arrives, Martha comes rushing out to him and sounds a bit upset with Jesus, saying, "Master, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." Christ seems to have delayed himself too much, and Jesus weeps at the death of Lazarus. But of course, we know the whole story. Jesus arrived precisely when he meant to come. He isn't late. He arrives just in time to perform the miracle that he intended. Lazarus needed to be dead so that Christ could raise him up. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. Seeds have almost miraculous lifespans. We have seeds that are millions of years old now and can still be planted and bring forth fruit. But the moment the seed is planted and allowed to die and break open, it becomes something else. That tiny seed produces life so much larger than itself. Once the seed has given itself over to the earth and the conditions are ripe for change, then life comes forth. We would like to see Jesus. The Lord wishes to personally insert himself into your life, into whatever state you find yourself. But he stands at the door and knocks. Christ doesn't bludgeon himself into our souls. Instead, he shows himself to those who have made their hearts welcome to him. And a lot of the time, making our heart open to meet the Lord means giving over control. It means allowing that hard shell of ours to break, to allow the Lord to bring forth fruit in our lives. So many people are weighed down worrying about every minute detail of their lives that it becomes impossible for God to act because his course of action doesn't correspond with our predetermined plot that we made for him. It doesn't make sense to Martha why Christ would have waited until Lazarus died before showing himself, but Martha didn't know that Lazarus was meant to rise. Now each of you are meant to rise. Each of you is meant to be a saint, and Christ has planned how each of you will do that. He has measured out the quantity of his grace which is sufficient to that purpose. Don't say you can't be holy. Don't say you can't avoid sin, because while you, an imperfect man or woman, can't be holy on your own, Christ is prepared to make up the difference. So if you think you can't do this, right? If you think you can't do what Christ is asking you, or you can't keep up with the standards that the church is giving us in Lent or in every day of the year to cast away sin, to grow in prayer, to grow in reverence of the Lord. If you want to say that you can't do this, just spare yourself the excuse and be honest. You don't want to do it, right? Because if you did, Christ is ready to do his work in you in whatever moment you find yourself, in whatever place, in whatever problem. We would like to see Jesus. I want you to ask yourself, is that true? Is it true that you want to see Jesus? Do all of us wish to see Jesus forever? Do we all hope to eternally see the vision of the Father's glory? Or do we even give it a second thought? Does it affect any choice you make from day to day? Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.